This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Okay, Sharp Money, DraftKings, VSiN, the sports betting network. As we welcome you back, Dustin Sweetelson live in Las Vegas. I'm Patrick Maher live from Los Angeles. Dan Rosen, NHL.com, is going to join us coming up in just a bit. But it's time to go inside the Florida Panthers with the voice on radio of the Florida Panthers, of course, Bill Lindsay, 13 seasons, drafted by the Nordiques, did spend a season or two with the Panthers, and he joins us. He's going to have the call tonight for a Game 7. You can find Bill on Twitter, at Lindsay B Hockey. He's brought to you on the Progressive Guest Line. Let's start. First off, Bill, thank you. I know it's a very busy day for you. Let's just start with the vibes. Thank you very much. Let's just start with the vibes. Like, you've been here. I don't know if in particular you were in a Game 7, but it comes down to this tonight. How would you say that locker room's feeling right now?
Jittery. I was in a Game 7 for the Eastern Conference Final against Pittsburgh. They had Mario Lemieux, Jaromir Jagr. We won that game. So I have an inkling what the players are feeling. And in that locker room, you forget about the first six games in a Game 7. You truly do. It's out the window. It becomes a Super Bowl vibe, national championship. One game, winner take all. You're going to have a hard time sleeping this afternoon. You're revved up, but it's the most exhilarating feeling that you can have as an athlete. There are certain experiences you go through in life that kind of mirror that, maybe getting married or having a child, something along those lines. But as far as an athlete goes, you will never feel more alive than you will for this happening tonight. So that's going on in the locker room, trying to control that. Make sure you're ready to play, and then once that game starts in game number 7, you better not be thinking. It's all about reaction and trusting your instincts and believing that you got the goods to deliver. You have to step on that ice with all kinds of confidence, and I believe this Panther team has it, and that is basically the kind of the gist of what you're going through in game 7.
No, that's a perfect answer, Bill Lindsay, of course. So you remember being out there, you got the national anthems going. I just would imagine every shift, every check, there's just a different level because it's all right there. Are the players freaking out and just want to get the game played? It's got to be on edge, Bill, waiting for the game to get going.
It's agonizing. You can't wait for it to start. And once they drop that puck in game 7, from my experience, it feels like overtime from the drop of the puck. So the way that you would approach overtime, that we got to go out, we got to attack this, we got to get after it, we got to go. Maybe every little mistake, you get on the wall, you got to make sure pucks are out. You're 30, 45 seconds, you get off the ice, the next line goes. Your mind at the start of it is going at warp speed. It does calm down as you kind of settle into it, but it does have the feeling of an overtime start to a playoff. If you're playing in the playoffs in overtime, that's kind of what Game 7 feels like. Right from the drop of the puck, and once you get settled into it, the back and forth, and that's where I said just stop about the thinking. You've been dreaming of this since you're 5 years old. When you play road hockey, this is what you do. It's Game 7, the Stanley Cup. Whoever wins takes on the Stanley Cup trophy. You've played this game over and over in your mind for however long you've been alive and can remember, and so you got a lot of visualization to rely on as a player. Now it's about executing your dreams.
It's the visualization. Let's get this game played. Bill Lindsay, of course, Florida Panthers Radio, NHL Network. Okay, so just full disclosure, I'm a Panthers backer with my wallet, Bill. So here's what I'll ask
you.
give me some confidence. Why should I feel, even though they've lost three straight, give me some confidence with the Panthers tonight?
Because they won three straight. And this team has all kinds of belief in that locker room. They've gone through some attrition. They've gone through battles. They were in the Stanley Cup final last year, and they were, with that 3-0 series lead, they were the hunter. Now it kind of seems like they're the one being hunted. They like being in that position. Okay, we're the underdogs now. Let's go. Let's play our best game. And even if you look at the analytics, Game 6, even into Game 5, they weren't bad. In Game 6, that 5-1 win with two empty netters, they had four chances off the rush, Edmonton. three of them ended up in goals. The rest of it, you were still able to control the pace of the game. Game five, which you lost at home, the second and third period, you dominated. There's stretches in there where you've played pretty good, decent hockey, but now it has to start. It has to click for 60 minutes. And pay attention to this first period. Leads. If this Panther team grabs a lead, maybe even a two-goal lead, and Chris Knobloch, the coach of the Oilers, starts putting McDavid and Draisaitl over every second shift, starting to chase the game, that is where the Panthers are able to feast. So a good start, and there's belief in that dressing room. It's a really good, competent team. You got Bobrovsky in that. They got more. This is not a true just underdog story going at you. These are two teams that are going to lock horns, and the one that plays the best is going to win, and the Panthers are right there with the Oilers.
Bill Lindsay joining us, doing a great job here. So, you know, I have to ask you about Bobrovsky. Through the first three, he was exquisite. I actually thought, Bill, he was very good in game six, especially early on. Some tough shots that he saved. There are some questions. Does he get worn down? Do you feel like Bobrovsky's going to be in a good place tonight?
Yeah, he'll be fine. Veteran goaltender, and we got 2 days off. I know we're flying, but they're flying in charters. You get 2 days off between every single one. Every time you travel, you've had the days off, the chance to rest, to reset mentally. And he's one of the best. He's seen it all. He's won the Vezina trophies. He's had bad years in Florida. He's had good years. He knows what it takes at this time of year. And Sergei Bobrovsky, for him, and just stop giving him 3-on-2s and 2-on-1s and breakaways to stop. And maybe so the team's got to be a little bit more prudent in front of him. Sergei Bobrovsky, it's a big rink out there, but the big rink is the 9 inches between the years. And Sergei Bobrovsky has been battle tested over the years, and that 9 inches between his ears is one of the strongest rinks you'll ever play on.
We've heard so much about the travel, Bill. Has it been a factor here as far as the long travel, or it's not that big of a deal? It's all charter.
Well, if you're like me and me, I had to fly commercial at times. Yeah. For a lot of the media, it's been hectic. No, these guys. So imagine I'm mostly on the team charter all the time. Imagine flying in your living room with all the amenities that you want. TV, you can lay down, you can sleep, you can play cards, you can walk around the plane, pretty much do whatever you want, but you're in the air. So if you can picture that and being in your living room and just doing whatever you want for 5 or 6 hours, then landing on the ground, that's what the travel's like. It's gotten so good these days for the players. That's not a storyline or an issue for either team.
So the total set at 5.5. I have to think, Bill, now you can correct me, as Panthers, you do the play-by-play along with your partner for the Panthers on the radio there, Game 7 tonight. I have to think a lower-scoring game would be optimal. Could you play that out for me?
You play it out, score early, 1-0 lead. The Panthers are 7-0 in these playoffs. The first period, that they've only led 7 times after the first period, but they're perfect when they've led after the first period. The games they won against Edmonton, it's been able to get those leads. And when this team goes into shutdown mode defensively with a lead and they can lock you up, good luck trying to score on them. That's when it becomes extremely difficult. So if you're looking at the under, it's going to be a Panthers victory. If it gets up 2-0, 2-1, 3-1 in that kind of scenario, this team can lock it down even with Connor McDavid on the ice with the best of them. They can crush you through the neutral zone. The time when they get spread out is when they're behind and they have to chase the game. It opens up a little bit more. So start with the lead, get it, and you will have the under if the Panthers have the lead and carry it well into the second period.
That is a tremendous answer, in particular for our network. All right, I think I feel better. You know, I was nervous. My bank account was nervous. But, Bill, I think you've settled me down. You sound confident. We heard from Paul Maurice. He sounds confident. Let's go Cats, right? Did you end up living down there after you retired?
I've always kept house here. I played for 6 other teams in the NHL, but for the majority of my 30 years in the National Hockey League, about 25 of those, 30 years down here in Florida, about 25, 26 of those years. I've had a residence in South Florida, so.
Yeah, it's tough to beat. No taxes.
Played for the team 8 years, now broadcasting 17. So it's been a long ride here for the Panthers. And there's no black or white tonight, Patrick. It's all or nothing for this franchise. It's either going to be total elation or one of the biggest gut punches that you could ever feel right in the stomach.
There is. I'm a Red Wings fan, so we've seen it. There's nothing fun as a fan about watching a Game 7, and you'll be on the call tonight. Bill Lindsay, of course, 13 seasons, NHL, Florida Panthers, radio and NHL Network, at Lindsay B Hockey. Thank you, Bill. That was a great conversation. Appreciate you.
No problem. Thank you very much for the time.
You got it, buddy. Thank you. And again, you can hear the Canadian twang. Super nice guy. And I do feel better. That's what I'll say. I'm starting to settle down a little bit here, big guy.
Yeah, Bill said one specific thing that did make me feel better, and that all the blame we're all putting on Bobrovsky, I think he made a fair point. He faced a lot of bad opportunities where they were outnumbered on their end with Edmonton coming fast downhill, and there's only so many times when they have an advantage that you're going to be able to make those stops. So it's not all Bob. He may not be as mentally weak as we all think he is, and there's an opportunity here for a bounce back in Game 7 from the man between the pipes.
Oh,
I'm still nervous.
That's what
now.
I said.
Now I said I'm nervous again.
I don't know if I feel better. I don't know what I feel. We'll transition. Some drama with the Cowboys. Goulet, you may want to miss this next segment. Sharp Money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Okay, spring special, 13 months for $199, so you get a free month. Remember, we've got our guide coming out on Thursday, special programming with the NFL on Thursday as well. So sign up, vsin.com/subscribe to become a pro. Use the promo code SHARP to unlock this deal. You get everything we offer, including the guide, which is dropping on Thursday. vsin.com/subscribe. Promo code is SHARP. Okay, so last week we welcome you back. We're going to have Dan Rosen coming up in about 15 minutes. So we'll get back into the hockey. Game 7, the two greatest words in sports. Game 7 tonight, Stanley Cup Final. Sudden death with the Panthers and Oilers. We'll get to that coming up in just a bit. We'll transition a little bit here. And don't worry, we've got the boys. Samich is coming by the studio. Halterman's going to join, so the group's going to be buzzing. The big guy is in the group now, which you love to see. But last week, towards the end of the week, you and I put together our top five list of best off seasons as far as the NFL is concerned, speaking of the guide, which is dropping. One team that didn't sniff the top five nor the top 10, I think everybody can safely say, would be the Dallas Cowboys. Well, it's starting to get weird with the Dallas Cowboys. Now, I want to mention that the source is Tyler Dunn. And Tyler Dunn is an independent journalist, but he covered the Buffalo Bills for their main newspaper for years. And then he went up to Green Bay and he covered the Green Bay Packers for many years and their main newspaper. And then he went solo. And if you remember a few years ago, that article that came out that kind of exposed the relationship between McCarthy and Rodgers, and all, it was all validated. We've known Tyler Dunn, Go Long, I believe, is the website. We've known him forever. He's been doing our show forever. And he's legit. But he does long-term investigation pieces where he's got a ton of sources. He goes in and he digs out the dirt. Okay? I say that to say this. He recently dug up some Cowboys dirt where Tyler Dunn talked to somebody particularly close to the team, and they said Mike McCarthy is fed up with Jerry Jones's undermining behavior. All right? And I'm paraphrasing. But apparently, Mike McCarthy, who's in the last year of his contract, is fed up with Jerry Jones, and he feels as though he's undermining him and the team. They're not concerned about the coaching staff, but they're concerned about ownership. All right? Water's wet, dude. First off, you're Mike McCarthy. Shh. Secondly, Jerry Jones is 81. He wasn't 81 when he bought the Cowboys, and he's been doing the exact same thing ever since he's owned the Cowboys. So this is nothing new, and I don't know if it's McCarthy's people trying to get out in front of losing the job after this year, so he set himself up for another job by saying he's being undermined. Who knows? But what I do know is you can go to the market, DraftKings big guy, and have the numbers ready for me. But when talking about changes in the offseason, let's start with the Cowboys and what they've done. Really, the major change was Dan Quinn going to Washington to become the new head coach. That's it. Because if you think about it elsewhere within the organization, first off, they have a 30-year-old Dak Prescott. They failed to extend him. So they've got a lame duck coach and a quarterback on the last year of his contract. The vibes are horrific. And then you talk about the Cowboys, who were 12-5 last year. They had a head-scratching offseason. They lost their center to the Commanders. They lost Pollard, their running back, to the Titans. But don't worry, they refreshed the Pollard situation with a young, spry running back named Ezekiel Elliott. I'm not kidding. So Pollard leaves, their center leaves, and they bring in Zeke Elliott. That's essentially it. Have fun with the rest of it. So last year, they obviously won the NFC East, but they were embarrassed at home in the postseason, 48-32, at the hands of the Packers. And so the question was, would McCarthy return? He did. He has returned. He's probably bitter he didn't get extended. But Jerry Jones took some time, essentially came out and said, yeah, he's going to come back. There is no extension. So the division is where it gets interesting. So the Cowboys won the East last year. And what I think kind of compounds the issue, not just the leaks of the undermining nature of an 81-year-old already kind of alpha in Jerry Jones and a Mike McCarthy who is, you know, oftentimes the butt of the jokes, and even more so after getting embarrassed 48-32 by the Packers. I think you have to, when talking about the Cowboys, you have to go in division to see how the rest of the teams are doing. First off, the Eagles, this has been an A+. We both had them in our top five as far as the offseason's concerned. It's not just Saquon Barkley. Oh, by the way, speaking of vibes with the Cowboys, you know who liked the Saquon Barkley signing with the Eagles? Tad Prescott. The brother of Dak Prescott, because when it happened, Tad Prescott tweeted, "The Eagles have the best front office in football. There's no question anymore." And then he deleted it. So the quarterback who you failed to extend, your franchise quarterback, Dak Prescott's brother, is tweeting about a division rival in the Eagles killing the offseason. So don't believe me, believe Tad Prescott. The Commanders. Upward trajectory. Have to think it. First off, they've got your head coach. You wanted to keep him big time. And Dan Quinn, who did a great job with the defense. You know, the donk with the backward hat. Who knows what he'll end up being with the Commanders as a head coach. He did have a Super Bowl run with the Atlanta Falcons. But the Commanders, there's juice there. That ownership group is starting to settle in. Adam Peters came in to kind of fill the holes as the general manager. Dan Quinn has had a glow up. And Jaden Daniels, the most exciting player in the draft. So, again, the Commanders, glow up. And the Giants. Here's all you need to know about the Giants. First off, Malik Nabers, electric, going to be exciting. All you need to know about the Giants is Brian Daboll is skinny. Vibes are high. So, the Giants, and if you haven't seen the picture, I mean this. It's like people that say they can't lose weight. It really just comes down to your mental fortitude. Go look at the before and after of Daboll and his wife when they were introduced as the head coach there with the Giants. And a recent picture, his wife's transformation is the greatest transformation in the history of weight loss. I'm not kidding. I don't know if she's using Ozempic. I don't know if she did it naturally. I'm just telling you, Daboll looks great. His wife has had a transformation the likes I've never seen in weight loss. I'm just telling you, the Giants' vibes are high. Daniel Jones is going to go from everybody's A, he's the butt of the joke. Everything comes full circle. He's then going to become like the Lions were last year. It's cool to like the Lions. First off, I was here before it was cool to like the Lions. And so now they're just another team. But remember last year, because your girl Kay Adams or whoever is sitting there talking about, you know who I like this year? I like the Lions. Hey, aren't I kitschy? Aren't I being irreverent? No. What up, big guy? So, again, Cowboys. You got numbers for me?
Oh, they win the Super Bowl. They're 17-1 over at DraftKings. You want them to win the NFC 7-1. In the East, they are behind the Eagles at plus 145. Their win total is 10.5, juiced minus 180 to the under. Yes, no playoff odds. Yes, minus 210. No, plus 170. And you just mentioned all the head coaches in this division. I think you can make a very strong case that despite winning this league a year ago, winning the NFC East, Mike McCarthy is the coach I trust the least in this division.
I think that's fair.
All things equal, just as a head coach, as a leader of the franchise and making sure we're buttoned up on game day, like, this guy is banking off the fact that when he got fired in Green Bay, he spent like an afternoon at PFF's office and learned how analytics work, and now he's a changed man, and that's all he's been riding this whole way with the Cowboys. It's going to get real interesting when he has to actually coach up this offense this year with zero run game. And Dak's going to pad those stats like he always does because they'll be losing in the fourth quarter and he'll be throwing from behind. That is what Dak Prescott does best.
Well, if Mike McCarthy spent the year before he got with the Cowboys in the PFF office, after Antonio Pierce gets fired, he can go spend time at PF Chang's. And try to get a job there.
He probably could get the gig. I mean, that's the way things are going. Look, your point about the Eagles is the best one. They are in a different class than this Dallas team. I know they get Diggs back on defense, but I'm very concerned if I was a Dallas fan about the transformation going from Dan Quinn, who this defense loved, to Mike Zimmer, who's a guy that's notoriously annoying and rubs people the wrong way everywhere he goes. He gets results. He's probably a good football coach, but Dan Quinn was a player's coach. Mike Zimmer, not a player's coach.
And by the way, do you think Kellen Moore might have some intel when they play?
That's a good point, too.
Who's running the offense there with the Eagles? Might have a little intel on what the Cowboys are planning on doing with Dak in that offense.
Well, and then the most shocking thing you said in this conversation is that Jerry Jones is 81 years old. Thought he was way older. No offense.
You got them George Washington Wooden teeth.
Yeah.
Look, I don't have any, honestly, bitterness towards anybody, but do I need another Good Morning Football likes the Lions shticky thing jumping out? Nobody cares.
Well, no.
You do your thing. It's one of 32. Everybody jumps on the same team every single year. Okay, you could cover the NFL if you have a pulse. Stay away from the Lions. One pride, Honolulu blue and silver for the big guy. Now my sport. Going back, NHL.com, Dan Rosen is going to join us next. Dan Rosen is a better way of saying it.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Sharp Money, DraftKings, VSIN, the sports betting network. As we welcome you back, of course, a game 7 tonight down in Sunrise. The Panthers hosting the Oilers. Just a historic series thus far, and you can read about it at NHL.com with our senior writer, Dan Rosen. You can find Dan on Twitter at DRosenNHL, and the podcast is NHL at the Rink. We say hi to Dan. Dan, how are you?
Yeah, what's going on?
How's the travel been? I'll start there. Has it been taxing for you going back and forth?
Yeah, I mean, listen, it is, but it's the nature of it. I don't think there's a fan out there that cares about my travel or, you know, really the players' travel or the team's travel. It's just play the games, right? So, I mean, it's part of it. It's a lot. It's a lot of connecting flights, a lot of mileage on the body. But, you know, I mean, it's all good. There isn't a fan out there that really is going to feel any sympathy for me that I got to travel a lot for this series.
Yeah, there's worse things than going back and forth and watching this hockey. What would you say?
Yeah.
What would you say, Dan, changes for the Panthers tonight? It feels like that first goal has been so important. We just had Bill Lindsay, who does the play-by-play for Florida, saying, you know, get off to a nice start here. Is that where we'd start with this game tonight? The Panthers got to be on their front foot to start here?
Yeah, for the Panthers, there's no question about it. If they get down early in this game, or they go down in this game in the first period, even, let's just say, or at any point in the game, then the doubt creeps in because that's where they've been in the last couple of games here, the last three games. They've been down 2-0. The last two, they've been down 3-0. So a good start, scoring the first goal, it always matters. I could say that for any game at any point in the season, but we're talking game seven. We're talking Stanley Cup final, and we're talking about a team that's lost three games in a row and really hasn't been close. So, yeah, there's 100% the good start, the first goal. It really does matter for the Florida Panthers.
Dan Rosen, NHL.com senior writer. So from in the locker room, is this a team constituted to handle the pressure? Because the pressure is very much on the Panthers coming back home here after losing three straight. Player to player, do you get the feeling that this Panther team is equipped to handle this?
I think so. Yeah, I mean, I think so for sure. They're a team, guys, that's a veteran team. They've been around a long time. This is their, I want to say, their 106th game of the season. They're 209th, I believe, in the last 2 years. They know themselves. They know their team. They know their style. They know what makes them successful. So I think they're fully equipped to handle it. It's just got to get off to a good start because the other team's fully equipped to handle it too.
Bobrovsky, Dan, is going to be part of the question, of course, and part of the conversation. So I actually thought in game six, specifically early on, I thought he was very sharp. Would there be concern for Panthers fans in Bobrovsky tonight?
Based on what you've seen in the last three games, I would say yes. Well, how could there not be? You know what I mean? The Oilers have gotten to him. They've gotten to the defense. They've attacked. They've scored early. I would think if you're a Panther fan, there has to be some measure of concern about your goaltender, about where he is right now. You also have to be confident. Confidence is key, too, because, I mean, they have a really good goalie, and they've seen it. They've seen how good he can be. They've seen how good he can be in this series against this team. So I think there's concern, but based on what we've seen, there has to be a measure of confidence as well. And that's, you want the confidence to outweigh the concern, but I can understand if the concern outweighs the confidence simply because of what we've seen the last three games.
Dan, on the other side, with the Oilers traveling down with a chance to make history tonight in Game 7, outside of McDavid, what has changed over this three-game win streak? What have you seen that's really kind of galvanized the team on the ice?
Well, I mean, I think for sure you're getting secondary scoring. So that's number one. You're getting Connor Brown's been really good. Matthias Janmark's been good. The penalty kill, which has been outstanding to them all playoffs, has been outstanding in this series, and particularly in the last three games, 10-for-10 with two shorthanded goals. Dylan Holloway's produced. You know, you're getting offense from guys that are just not always McDavid and Draisaitl, and that's the key thing. That's how you win in the playoffs, by getting offense from guys who are not expected to always produce, and yet you continue to get the offense from the guys that are. And, I mean, Leon really hasn't produced that much in this series, but Connor's been so good, and they've gotten that secondary offense as well. That's been so key for them. It's a big reason. And the other thing is, I mean, listen, guys, like, Stuart Skinner's been outstanding. You know, and he's outplayed Bobrovsky. There's no question about it.
I was going to say, Dan Rosen, NHL.com, I just got a couple more for you. We'll let you go. I thought Skinner, the idea of him being in a Conn Smythe conversation isn't crazy. I came into this, and I'm not as well-versed as you are, not having watched a ton of Skinner, and I don't feel like he's a weak link at all.
Well, he's been really good. I mean, I think when you went into the playoffs, that's what you were thinking, that you were concerned about the goaltender because you had a goalie in there who had been hit or miss and really hadn't proven it, right? But now he's proven it. And in games 4 through 7 in the playoffs, he's been lights out. He's been so good. And really, since he got back in after getting the bump in the Vancouver series for Calvin Pickard, he's been outstanding. So he's not a weak link. He's also not the Conn Smythe Trophy winner. I mean, I think I was saying that after before game six, that no matter what happened, they could have a press conference before game six, hand the thing to McDavid, and then play the rest of the series. So they could hand it to McDavid right now, play the rest of it, play before they play game seven. It's his. I'd be shocked if he doesn't win it, win or lose.
The atmosphere inside the arena, even watching on TV for the Stanley Cup playoffs, is the best thing in sports. So I'm curious, what have you noticed a difference in energy up in Edmonton as opposed to Florida?
Well, it's just different, right? I mean, listen, I mean, with all due respect to the city of Edmonton, the Oilers are what they have, all right?
Yeah.
That's their biggest thing. And where, when you're down here in South Florida, there's so many things, right? It's such a vast market. It's so spread out. There's so many options for entertainment and so many things to do, and also so many transplants, right? I mean, the people who live in Edmonton, they're from Edmonton. They are, you know, like, you don't, again, with due respect, nobody's saying, let's move to Edmonton, and that's where we want to, you know, relocate our family, unless it's relocating for a job or, you know, for something along those lines. But people relocate to South Florida, right? I mean, people do it all the time. You got snowbirds, transplants all the time. So it's different in Edmonton than it is here. But inside the building, the energy in here at Amerant Bank Arena, it's fantastic. It's a great energy. But I'll tell you what, there's a ton of Oiler fans down here. There were a lot on my flight here. They'll tell you, I know that.
All right, before we let you go, it's essentially a pick'em tonight. How do you see this one playing out, Game 7?
Well, we did a roundtable discussion on NHL.com where we had to pick the winner and the hero for Game 7. And I picked Panthers in 7 to start the series, and we're in Game 7, so why would I stray away from it? I mean, there's a lot of reasons to stray away from it after what we've seen the last 3 games, but I'm going to stick with it. I said Panthers in 7. I'm sticking with Panthers in 7. I think McDavid wins the Conn Smythe, but I think Bobrovsky has a huge game.
Awesome. Dan Rosen, thanks. I know you're busy. NHL.com senior writer at D Rosen NHL, the podcast NHL at the Rink. Thank you, Dan. Enjoy the hockey.
All right. Appreciate it, man. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate it. Dan Rosen, NHL.com. He's got the Panthers. Maybe a little bit on pride with this was my pick before the series started, but look, we're just looking for confidence here. Now, it does appear. Dan's a busy man. I think he might have been doing some landscaping while we're the big guy. I've done so many interviews, so I can generally tell what people are up to. My impression was that he was like moving rooms.
Or my thought was hopping on the shuttle. Is it too early to be getting to the arena if you're a reporter?
You know what? That's a good one, big guy.
That was my thought because it starts at 8 o'clock Eastern. So, yeah, it would make sense that he has to get there a few hours early, maybe catch a couple interviews, get something going on, lay of the land. Also, everyone knows if you work in media, you get there early. Why? Because if you wait for the other media people to get there, you're getting third choice on the food options. Media people love free food. They take advantage of it all too well. They put some in their backpack for later. And if you arrive too late, you miss out on all the good items these teams put out.
That's a good point by you. Also, All Too Well, a good Taylor Swift song.
I think I'm going to have a summer vacation of just listening to T-Swift.
Yeah.
And I think we're reaching a point where despite not being the biggest fan, not anti or anything, I just only know like maybe 10 songs, I think I might need to go to a concert.
Yeah, sure. Pretty easy to get ticks.
Well, I mean, if I keep winning these no-win parlays with baseball pitchers, we might be able to pay for one.
Exactly. Big weekend for the big guy. It's going to be a big week, potentially, for our next guest, because our next guest is Spencer Campbell. He is this week's Sharp Money Survivor, and he is chasing down Nish Gandhi. We're coming back with Spencer Campbell next, right here. Then Samich live in studio. Halterman, boys are buzzing. Sharp Money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Okay, with NFL training camp starting in less than a month, the VSiN experts have been hard at work to get you ready for the upcoming NFL season. Our all-new VSiN NFL betting guide drops this Thursday and is packed with everything you need to dominate this NFL season. We've got in-depth profiles of every team, advanced stats, proven betting systems, and proprietary betting trends that you're not going to find them anywhere else. All right, but that's not all. Our experts have weighed in with their best bets on season win totals, futures, and props Whether you're a seasoned bettor or just getting started, our NFL betting guide is your ticket to smarter, more informed bets. And to celebrate the release of the guide, VSiN is going all in and all out with special coverage throughout the day coming up this Thursday for expert analysis, insider tips, and all the NFL insight you need to start the season strong. Remember, the only way to get our all-new NFL betting guide is to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. So visit VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up today. Sharp Money, DraftKings, and VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. As we got you back here, it looks like J.J. Redick here in Los Angeles is being announced as the next Lakers head coach. So a lot of shtick going on down the road. I'm Patrick Maher, live in Los Angeles. The big guy, Dustin Sweetelson, down at the D off Fremont Street in Las Vegas. We've got Mike Somich, who's going to be off the D there. And I said the boys are buzzing. He literally might still be buzzing because he was hanging out with his boys all weekend in Vegas. So we'll have to see a little vibe check with Somich when he stops by to talk about this series.
Should I have a Bloody Mary waiting for him? You think he needs a little bit of hair of the dog? Get him going, kick everything back up, push that hangover.
Well, if it's Somich, it's not hair of the dog. It's hair of the donk.
Oh, speaking of the devil walking behind me right now.
You like
that? He is alive and well.
Hey, Somich is never going to turn down an opportunity to peacock.
No.
Let's have a bet between the two of us.
Okay.
How many minutes into his broadcast till he mentions how tan he is?
All right. Well, he has a headset on right now. I hope he didn't hear the question. He just jumped right in. I'm going to say under, from the time you first welcoming him and stopped speaking, under 2 minutes before he mentions it.
Somich is he's a humble guy. He's a great guy. He's probably the sharpest guy I know. But the one thing he's always going to do is let you know how tan he is. So we shall see coming up at the top of the hour with Somich. We'll check in on the tan. Of course, he's been buzzing with the boys. Didn't work this weekend. No big deal. Just took the weekend off. Must be nice. Of course, the handle. I don't know how it went without him. Digging through new opportunities over at DraftKings to make you money. Bottom nine? Anyone? All right. So we'll have Somich coming up here in just a couple of minutes. He's got a grin on his face like he's about, 100% hungover.
Are you playing in the soccer right now? You are so tan. My God.
Hey, dude, what? Don't talk to him yet, dummy. Producer. He's coming up in 7 minutes. It's time now for you, literally, Dustin. You're unbelievable. It's time now, big guy, for Sharp Money Survivor. You sure know how to tease something out there. Sharp Money Survivor, big guy. What's up?
All right. Well, just look at the words. I can't do anything right. I do anything. You make a joke, it's the wrong joke. You make the right joke, it's the wrong joke. You say the right thing, it's the wrong thing.
You want to do bad broadcast? You want to do good broadcast? Sometimes I have to reprimand you on the air.
So it would have worked.
Just the way it goes.
But so let's pull back then. So then it would have worked if I said, man, Mike Somich is so tan right now, he'd be playing in this Brazil game tomorrow.
You literally started having a conversation with him while you were doing the show, and I was like, we're going to have – I'm sorry. Is that what you want from me? I'm sorry.
But I was not – I already had talked to the boys in the back. They were not going to open his mic, so he was not going to be able to respond. I knew that going in.
There's a rumor, by the way, there is a rumor that he – you know, Somich, he came to Vegas with all his boys, and they were getting housed, and he did invite somebody out from VSiN. It wasn't you. It was Matt Brown.
Yeah, because it's his best friend.
Yeah, BFF. I think Steph got an invite before you as well, which is produces the handle. All right, it's time for Sharp Money Survivor, big guy. Let's go.
So Spencer Campbell, we're on a run of some of the most likable guys we've ever had involved in the contest, and everyone's been great, but Spencer Campbell jumped off the screen to me when he sent in his video. He's down in Alpharetta, Georgia, where Chattahoochee High School is, because the Chattahoochee River runs that way. Shout out to Alan Jackson. And Spencer Campbell just seems like a great guy, big fan of the show. So let's just get to his video with his play for today. Here's our guy Spencer with his Sharp Money Survivor play.
How long can you last? It's time to see how the listeners of VSiN do. Your best plays. Your best bets. Longest streak wins.
We're going streaking!
It's Sharp Money Survivor. Pick or die.
Hey, Sharp Money family. This is Spencer in Alpharetta, Georgia. You might remember my email from Friday's show where I shared the hilarious exchange I had with my mail lady. And I know that's right. I'm super excited to be part of the show this week. I am a loyal 3-year VSiN listener. Shout out to my buddy Steven Enright, who turned me onto the network. I'm a newly minted VSiN Plus member. Glad to be part of the family. I have been a degenerate my entire life, however. Before I get to my pick, though, I want to set the record straight that in life and in sports, you never want to be the guy that follows the guy, right? But that's where I find myself. I am the guy that follows the guy. Nish had an incredible run. I'm hoping I can live up to those lofty standards. But if I don't, I'm just the donk that followed the champ. So there's no pressure. All right, let's get to the pick. We have Game 7 of the NHL Finals tonight. We're all going to be tuning in. What a crazy series this has been. I'm heavily invested in Florida. We were all sipping champagne and giving high fives after Game 3. And we all know how quickly that changed, unfortunately, for us Florida ticket holders. But I do think Florida's going to pull it together tonight at home. I think they're going to win, take them on the money line. But my pick is this, and it's been very profitable for me in this series and in the NHL in general this year, and it's the first period under. I'm taking first period under 1.5 at minus 150. So that's the pick, and hopefully we can come back with some baseball picks tomorrow. And good luck. Let's cash some tickets.
That is a tremendous job out the gate from Spencer Campbell. And one thing that I've noticed, he must be listening to Mike Somich as well with that first P under 110. One thing I have noticed about Sharp Money Surprise, and nobody believed in it, but me and the big guy kept on plowing through. Not room in the newsletter for sure, but one thing I did have noticed about Sharp Money Survivor, it has done the impossible. It's normalized VSiN. And been around VSiN long enough, the idea of our listeners normalizing VSiN and just making it part of the family, it's been a wonderful ride so far. And I wish Spencer Campbell the best. And he did mention, hey, you lose out, you're just a donk because you're following Nish Gandhi, who had 5 straight wins, 420.85 on the ROI, Dustin Sweetelson.
Yeah, look, I think for the listeners, a lot of times we only know and see the ones that are parody accounts, grown men pretending to be other grown men on the internet. It's nice to get a view here of some of the other normal people who are out there watching and listening and knowing that they exist. And oh, by the way, they're very sharp, and apparently a lot of our listeners love hockey. There's a lot of people betting hockey out there, and the tip of the cap to Mike Somich, who I'm not going to acknowledge is sitting right next to me right now, or else I'll get scolded again. But the last person, Nish Gandhi, who went on that run, he started his 5-0 run by using a Mike Somich strategy of no to bat in the 9th inning of a game. Spencer Campbell going back to the Somich well, again, not acknowledging that Somich is sitting right here on my lap, and goes with first period under to start his run here on Sharp Money Survivor.
Yeah, the impact of Somich here on the network, I mean, it's just such a welcomed addition, of course. The impact of Somich is omnipresent, is what I would say. He's everywhere. And we're lucky to have him.
Yeah, yeah.
Look. And he may or may not be sitting right next to the big guy. The big guy was taking his lunch order when we were trying to set up the segment, but it's cool. So we'll, of course, hear from Somich coming up in just a little bit.
Well, and we're also going to have the spinoff, right? We're going to have a spinoff coming back where past Survivor contestants try to battle Mike Somich in this world that we created where it's like there was MTV, there was Road Rules, there's all these other MTV shows. They all compete on the challenge. Well, now Mike Somich versus the Survivors is our version of the challenge.
Do you remember that one time you weirdly flexed that you had that your celeb run-ins were that in Georgia you once drove some derelicts from an MTV show to the airport?
No. You're degrading the job I had. My job was to be a good time. My job was to be with them at a club or bar and make sure everyone had drinks in their hands and we were all having fun all night long. I may or may not have pocketed money claiming there was going to be an after party and charged people to come meet us somewhere that we never showed up to. That cannot be proven in court, but that is what my job was, to make sure everyone from the reality show was having fun at the bar.
Sorry, I zoned out. What'd you say? Okay, when we come back, I mean, my gosh, is he still going? What? When we return, sorry, big guy, it's too easy. Mike Somich joins. We'll get in the group with the boys. Big game 7 tonight.
Oh, snap.